listeners. No, we do it for you. Not your common conversation, back with the new. And we speaking the truth like you need us to do. Ain't not your common conversation, not your common conversation, not your common conversation. Word is on and we on and we on.
It's been a minute since we recorded.
Yeah.
Here we are back on the air. My co-host Omar Henderson. I'm Chris Downing. And we got some other cats in. Of course, you know Brandon. Bailey Harper. And we got my man Dominic Mendez. And Dom and I have probably known each other the longest. It's been a minute. It's probably been close to 20 years. It's coming up. It's been a minute since we've been on the airwaves. We wanted to get back out there and talk about all the stuff that's going on in the world.
Yeah,
where y'all want to start?
Well, first of all, I want to welcome our lucky listeners to yet another episode of
Not Your Common Conversation.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Omar.
And today we're out on the deck on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
That's
the sky
right.
Is clear. The sun is shining.
It's a nice day, right?
It's a lovely day.
So what y'all want to talk about?
I don't know.
Y'all, I mean, the obvious is that. I mean, the obvious. We cannot talk about that debate last week.
Yeah.
That debacle.
Ask, you know, y'all still got your black jobs within the next station.
I know, right? The black
jobs. I swear to God, I woke up the next morning worried about my black job.
Wait a minute, my black job.
Okay. So I will say that when he said black jobs, not even trying to be like, oh, racist. But it did feel like he's saying there are certain types of jobs that black people do.
Totally.
And you get more of those or the Mexicans are taking them. Mm-hmm. And my argument is I don't necessarily think that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's true, too. I was like, what are you talking about? Like the attorneys, the lawyers?
They're not.
I mean, the doctors, the... What's a black job? What qualifies as
a
black job?
Question.
That's what I would have said. That's the first thing I feel like... what's his name? President Biden missed an opportunity because the first thing that came out, black jobs. But
Biden,
obviously,
was
he wasn't offended either, huh?
He missed a couple opportunities.
Yeah, he missed a lot of
opportunities.
All of them, every last one.
Biden didn't come out there calm. He came out there anxious. And he's old and anxious are not two things that mix well. Because he was not, if he were calm, he would let Trump ramble on and trip him up over all of this crap.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He was anxious to defend. He was anxious to defend and discredit. And that anxiety plus his age just weren't a good mix.
Plus, I think they prepared him. Whoever prepared him wrong.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, like you said, there were so many missed opportunities. He could have just... counterpunched. He could have just waited for him to say something crazy, and which he did 30 some times, and just got it.
Well,
bam.
The best thing that he could come up with, you're a liar, Biden. That's the best thing Biden could come up with. You're a liar.
He said you have the morals of an alley cat.
I was like, I love that actually.
I did too.
You know, when you get those old school,
I liked it too.
Insults.
But. Yeah, if somebody else said it, opportunities. Let me ask you. I've been thinking about this. I wonder what Brandon is thinking. Want to know what
my
young
was
buck
too.
Is thinking.
I was thinking of Brandon.
Yeah, I was like, what's Brandon thinking?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I couldn't get through it, honestly. So what do we got? Biden, obviously, he can't finish, right? You can't finish right now.
You think they need to put somebody else in there?
I feel like you got to put somebody else in.
Do you give any credence to the fact that he might have been on cold meds or something like that?
He did better than I thought he was going to do, honestly. I thought
really?
He was going to be
H. Wow.
I thought he was literally going Mitch McConnell up there, honestly.
Well, he kind of did.
He did.
He did a couple times, but
he
was he was better somebody than I thought the plug. He was, and that says a lot.
The beach ball was spinning for me.
Yeah,
oh, it was definitely spinning, right? Oh, it was buffering like a motherfucker. And then at some point, somebody walked across his camera. I was like, did somebody just plug him back in or something? Like, the plug came out and they plugged him. No, I think that, listen, there's no, to your point, Brandon, I think you, and I don't want to speak for you, but there's no doubt that he's old, right? There's no way around that.
And the guy, we know that.
And listen, we all want to get old. We all want to get 81. So there's no dissing my man because he's old.
No.
But being the president, that's not what you want. That's not what you want to see on many different reasons.
Levels. And far as Trump, it's like, I honestly felt like he didn't go as crazy as I thought he would either. I felt like he was kind of still like, but more like, I feel like he really could have stopped.
Well, he was a little reserved, too.
Reserved.
He was reserved because Biden really didn't attack him to prick a nerve.
Exactly.
You know, all Biden said was he was a liar, and, you know, anybody could put up with that.
Yeah, that's normal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Trump hears that all the time. It's like, liar.
Yeah, exactly.
So my thing about Trump is obviously he was lying. Like, he'd be lying all the time. But to the point that we were making the previous time we spoke, if I'm somebody that's a world leader outside of the United States of America, I feel like you just can't put Biden right there. It's just too weak.
Weak.
It just feels like invasion. It feels like I'll do what I want over there. It ain't running. It's just issues that I feel like if he's supposed to be the face of the country, that's not stopping nobody from doing what they want to do. At the end of the day, like I said before, Trump is at least fluid enough at his older age to kind of make people second guess it. He was saying it too. He was like, if I was president or Putin would have never decided to blah, 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 to some degree. But
you know, I want to remind people that Biden did beat Trump already. Yep. Okay. Let's not forget he beat him already. Yep. And there are a few things that, you know, we can look at what's happening in Israel and that whole mess, and I know people aren't crazy about America funding Israel for what's going on, and for whatever side of the fence that you're on, everybody has, as my uncle would say, has a pigeon to deal with, has something to bear. Every president, like Obama had the health care. Excuse me, no president walks out unscathed. Everybody has something that comes up on their watch that they got to deal with that has a lot of times very little to do with them. It's just issues that come up and they got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying though, Brandon, about the optics in terms of Biden. He doesn't look presidential or not. It's not about presidential. He doesn't look stable enough. But he still leads this country, and we're still.
I don't even think he does. That's what I'm saying.
Any president?
If that's the case, put the strongest facing feature, the strongest energy that you can, just because that's what the whole world is paying attention to. You wouldn't put the weakest, because that's how I said, the same reason that people like Trump, I feel like the same reason people like Obama, it's the charisma, it's the way to take over a room,
the swag,
yeah. So if we're not even putting somebody up there like that, I just think that we're just I don't know, man. I if I'm somebody from another country and I really feel like coming in here, I feel like, who runs it over there? Like that guy.
Well, he's got a cabinet, remember? Yep. And I think this showed itself during the Bush presidency and the Trump presidency. The cabinet members are the ones that enact what the president wants. And also, I would say, for lack of a better word, scheme and devise how to get it. So, you know, the president just basically holds a vision of this is what I want to see, and then everybody else executes. Or you have cabinet members that have an agenda, and then what happens with them, they have an agenda, and they put a dummy in the office.
That dummy.
He had a dummy in the office.
So W had the main dude in charge, that was Chaney.
Yep,
Dick Cheney. Then he had he had like Andy Card as chief of staff. Mainly Chaney.
Mainly
but
Chaney.
He that's all he needed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I forget about that. Chaney.
We can't forget that because W was not running stuff.
He wasn't.
What his handlers wanted him to, what his donors wanted him to do.
So who does Biden have in his camp that's that strong though?
That's a good question. But look, the country's been running though.
The country has been running. Yeah. And so you can't just negate that. I think so. The issue I had, I have sometimes with Kamala Harris is because I feel like I don't know what she stands on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, first ladies have been more vocal than she has. I feel like we need to hear more from her. Well, and I know I hear all the time that what do they say? White men won't vote on her, but she's vice president.
Is she? Well, you know, in her defense, and I totally get where you're coming from because I feel like she just parrots whatever Biden says or whatever the Democratic agenda is. I don't hear, and you know, it may be a lost opportunity for her. I don't hear any, even if she were forwarding the Democratic agenda, I don't hear anything from her that's motivating or inspiring. I just hear copycat stuff, you know. So that's the criticism. In her defense, you didn't hear much from Biden when Obama was president either. Biden was just vice president, eating ice cream, wearing sunglasses, you know, just.
That's a BFD, man. Big fucking deal. So, when he passed Obamacare,
so this
right?
is what I want to know because y'all are more versed in politics than me because I can just like surface. Shit. When I'm watching a debate, I'm just like surface. That looks crazy. Maybe we could work with that. Right, I don't know the interest, you know, like y'all
the
do.
Optics mean something. And that, you know, at first glance, it does. I mean, I'm not going to just disqualify that. I think optics are important, man. I think people see him as a old, feeble guy. It's not just about being old, because we kind of felt that way about towards the end about Reagan. Oh, Reagan showed up very old and feeble, and we said the same thing.
So what I want to ask is that, so we had Obama twice, then we had Trump, then we had Biden for 4 years. So I guess the Democrats would have roughly like 12, 15-ish years to try to get somebody in position to make something happen. So the fact that they don't have anybody is crazy.
Well, that's something to think about.
If you're thinking forward, you would be like,
that's a problem with leadership in America is that a lot of it is very independent. They don't think about. And, you know, I would dare say that trickles down. That trickles down to a lot of organizations. Very few people are groomed.
That's a good point. Yeah.
For leadership.
Yeah. Very few.
I look at my own Muslim community, you know, and I see some of these leaders out here. I don't see people who are groomed by these leaders to step up. I mean,
sometimes it's by design.
Quite honestly, people don't want to. Did Martin Luther King groom anybody to replace him?
Wow.
I just wonder.
Probably not.
I don't. You could say Jesse Jackson was that guy. Yeah.
Well, to a degree. Well, Jesse Jackson, but then there was.
He tried. Remember, he ran for president too.
Yeah, he did. But then there was Stokely Carmichael. There were a few other heads here and there. Yeah. It's like there was no.
Well, they weren't going to do Stokely.
There wasn't. Way too black. You know. So that says something about this Democratic system, quite honestly.
It does.
Speaking of black and the Democrats, so the BET Awards was 2 days ago, yesterday.
Did you see it?
Or something like that.
Bits and pieces.
Honestly, so Brandon, I never really watch it, but you see what happened.
That's what I was looking at. I didn't watch it either.
Sexy Red.
So before we get to Sexy Red.
Did you see it?
Before we get to Sexy Red, I got this tweet that I brought up, right? And this is Taraji, who hosted the show, talking to Kamala Harris. Yeah, it's talking to Kamala Harris.
She was on there? Kamala was on there?
Yes. So we're going to play the clip.
Hold on. Oh, what?
Yeah. Women's reproductive rights are on the line. I want y'all all to watch.
Our Supreme Court is on the line. Our basic freedoms are being tested, Madam VP. I know you've been traveling across the country. What are you hearing?
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. And let me tell you, you're right, Taraji. There is so much at stake in this moment. The majority of us believe in freedom and equality. But these extremists, as they say, they're not like us. They not. There's a full-on attack on our fundamental freedoms. The freedom to vote.
Yep.
The freedom to love who you love. The freedom to be safe from gun violence. The freedom for a woman to make decisions about her own body, not having her government tell her what to do.
Oof. So
I do think out here in these streets was a nice touch.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
they not like us.
You gotta do like
us. You had to get that one.
They not like us.
So this tweet.
I don't know.
So this tweet says the Kamala Harris just quoted Kendrick Lamar's "Not Like Us" for a Biden campaign ad with Taraji P. Henson during the 2024 BET Awards.
Did the BET Awards come on after the debate or before?
It came on after the debate.
Okay,
after.
All right.
So the reason why this tweet is up is because there's somebody that retweeted it and said, "This woman played a black role during the election every time, then disappeared."
Then disappears.
And then disappears.
Ooh, wow.
And so, it's kind of. So you want to say something?
Nah, I just want to know what y'all think.
Well, it's kind of crazy, man, because black people are put in a certain place. Like, they bring us out when they need us, and then they put us away when they don't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have the history of doing that.
Yeah.
The black thing is cool when it needs
bring
to be
black.
When we need to have swag, right. And then, okay, don't be too black. Like, it's almost like, it's. So I get it, because I mean, I get Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is around my age, right?
Yeah.
Probably exactly my age, literally. So, you know, I get her. I mean, we're still, I'm sure she, like, she, I know I saw something on Facebook or one of the platforms where she was a big P-Funk, Parliament Funkadelic fan.
Oh,
I get
really?
That. Of course she is, because she grew up, and that's what we listened to
right.
during that time. No different than listening to.
Enough. She went to Howard.
Yeah, so of course she is. Of course. I mean, it's hard. I mean, that's part of the black
she
experience,
went to
right?
Are you sure you ain't know her?
No, I didn't know her. No, I didn't go to Howard. You went to Howard.
You left by Howard.
Yeah. I hung out at Howard
any
for sure. And I lived by
day.
Howard. I'm sure I was in the same room at some point or somewhere in close proximity.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I get that she probably still has a little ear for, you know, black music and even new. She probably knows who, you know, somebody like Anderson .Paak is or something like that. You know what I mean? And you know, it's hard to keep up. I mean, listen, I try to stay relevant and hear music. I mean, it's good shit and it's some bad shit out there.
Yeah.
But or shit I don't, you know, everybody has it's good two kinds of music. Music you like and music you don't. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what period or whatever. It behooves her to come. That was her attempt to me to appeal to the black audience, which is to me perfectly fine, no different than somebody appealing to Taylor Swift audience, you know what I mean? Excuse me. We get, you know, the black thing gets really polarized because for so long, still to this day, to be black is at the end of the totem pole. I can remember growing up, or being in school, and if somebody talked proper English, then it meant they were talking white.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
they expected
you. I was guilty of that.
Yeah, me too. Everybody was like, you know, you had to, it's almost like being black meant being dumb.
Lesser.
And we even did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We fell for that ourselves.
Right.
And so, when somebody,
even amongst white folk too.
Even amongst white, it's ridiculous. I just saw it. It was something I saw. It's funny. I saw, it must have been Kamala Harris was standing next to Biden. And I think there was a performance. It might have been somebody like Beyonce. And he was just like, he has that crazy look. And of course he has that crazy look. He's an 81-year-old
white man
who probably is like, he didn't grow up listening to this. Yeah. He has no close proximity to this.
Right.
He's only sees it in a commercial and it being, you know, popularized by, you know, social, what do I want to say? The masses.
Yeah.
By the time it gets to that point, it's watered down.
Yeah.
So you start doing the black thing. And that's that, to me, that's the issue with on both sides, that we don't get used to being around our counterparts. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we all need to know who, and not be like, oh, you know, because what we run the risk of is stereotyping each other. You know what I mean? It's easy to go, oh, that white person. Everybody's not the same. You know, every white person is the same. Every black person isn't the same. Every Latino person is the same. People are their own people.
Yeah.
And so it's too easy just to put everybody in a box. I understand
we overgeneralize
everything and that kind of thing. But I think, you played that.
Do you think it's interesting so that the type of stuff that gets checks, like, because I think that the one thing I will say about the black community, sometimes I feel like we take too many checks. I feel like we take every check, and we don't need to take every check. Like,
what do you mean by take every check?
Like, I mean, like if somebody got an idea that's like, oh, Taraji, I need you to do this or do that or whatever like that, I think they'd be like, I ain't gonna do it for that number. Pay me this number and I'll do it. More so of like, it, almost like minstrel show. So it's like, I feel
well,
like.
Well, who else would you do?
Wait
so
minute,
Taraji,
wait
you
minute.
Said in terms of her being a host for the show?
Nah, not being a host for the show. I'm just saying that like certain ads and having them. I feel like Taraji is around black women that speak, like you were saying, not like dumb or whatever the case may be. So when you do an ad with the vice president and y'all are speaking to the community on the BET Awards, why do you say, oh my God, girl, do you know that the reproductive rights and yeah, girl, I'm in these streets, girl,
But,
and it's like, no, it's like I know that that exists out here. I know that there's a percentage of black women that do talk like that. I'm not ignorant to that.
Right.
I'm just saying, I think that it's not a huge percentage. I feel like it's the minority for us.
Well,
so we're appealing to
the
minority.
They are on BET Awards.
But I'm just saying, is that black entertainment, though? I bet you some part of them is that. Yeah.
I mean, we talk like that too. If I go to a meeting, I'm not talking like I'm not talking necessarily like that. You might get a little bit of that in there, but there's a different swag that you have. I got a suit on, or if I got a sports coat on and I'm in a professional meeting, that's not a professional setting. And they also run the risk of sound of what we just discussed, of like, why these two middle-aged women trying to talk all proper? They're talking over us. They're talking down to us.
Right.
I feel like, I understand your point, but I feel like there's a
How do you split the difference?
Because as far as when I was growing up, like, I had many shows to watch with a bunch of different black flavors and people had money, maybe they didn't have money. There was all different types of artists I could listen to. The girl artists was like guy artists. They all had their own styles, vibes and stuff like that. Now I feel like over the last 10, 15 years, we only get that. And that's when it's the problem. Like,
that's
it's like,
funny, because you know there was a word for that.
After that, you get Sexy Red performing, which is cool, but all I'm
who's Sexy Red, yo?
It's like, it's music, but and it's just turned up music. It's like party music, club, hood music, or whatever,
okay,
which is cool, or whatever. But I'm just saying that it's not enough of a balance, and I feel like it might be money in the balance. Like I say, you still have rappers like the Drakes, the Kendrick Lamars, the J. Coles. They do sell more than all the other stuff. So it's like, maybe if you did source and put a little bit of money around something a little bit different, maybe it would go crazy. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just basically saying it's not enough.
I just think there'll always be a class element to this, right?
Yeah.
Because, we're of a certain age or whatever, and I see Sexy Red, and I'm like, we came all this way for this?
Right.
Like, when we were coming up, and you heard it, we had NWA on one side, you had PE on the other side. It was a range. But now, like, okay, so Sexy Red, and you can check me, Brandon, I don't know, her biggest hit, how I found out about her, her line was, my pussy pink, my booty hole brown. And now...
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Right, where do you go from there? But the thing that really angers me about her is, I saw a video, a clip, of course, it's on Twitter or whatever, where... You know what happens? Every so often, they have one of these popular artists go into a school, and it's a surprise for the kids.
Right, right, right.
So they had Sexy Red show up to one of these schools, and the kids, all black,
you know about
are like,
this?
Yeah, yeah.
They're screaming like, ah! And okay, that's the artist of the day, right? That's who they want to see. But they're all rapping along to this song with the lyric I just told you.
Wow.
And in my mind, I'm like, okay, where did we come to this point where the administration thinks that she needs to be performing for these kids?
Yeah, what are they getting out of this?
And I think going between generations too often, in the same way that us dweebed up, whatever, buttoned up black folks want to overdo it and try to impress upon ourselves to the hood elements or
the young
or the ghetto element, for lack of a better term, to show, yeah, I'm real, I understand it.
Okay, what you got here? Oh, that's the school. That's it. Oh, that's Sexy Red. Yeah. I've seen her before.
Yeah, she has red hair, glasses.
So you know what's really being, what's very crazy about this? Listen, who doesn't like sex, right? But what we've been reduced to is selling sex. We've been reduced to pimps and hoes, right? Yeah. And I understand. I don't. So I grew up listening to what would be equivalent to that in the era that I grew up.
It's
that
like we Lil Kim.
No,
it
wouldn't
funny,
be like that.
Because my band is covering a song by Funkadelic.
Okay.
And it was an edgy song by the title alone.
Uh-huh.
Loose Booty.
Loose Booty, right.
Loose Booty, right. There's right. Loose Booty. Right. P-Funk.
Right, right. Right. P-Funk. But it was a parody on Junkies and Pushers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Or Superfly.
Yeah, see, my idea is that I don't really got a problem with Sexy Red because, like, I just think it's not enough variety. That's the only thing I'm saying. Like, if it's only that, if she's the best one, then that means that all the other ones are trying to imitate her style. So now you got a million Sexy Red clones.
Well, that's what everybody's going
to
do.
And then they are also, but they also get a chance to be something because they're girls and they get money pushed behind them a little bit, get a little buzz, and then it just seems like the only thing you can do if you're a woman that wants to be artistic is be like that.
I got a
and
problem with Sexy
Red.
Red
is blamed.
I got a problem
that.
With Sexy Red. I do. If I'm honest about, listen, I can respect her for artistic flavor. Her
integrity? she's being real to herself.
She's being real because what? She's a hooker?
I would defer to Brandon because
she's around the way joint. The only thing I'm saying is that the only reason I can't say that I'm mad at her is because I feel like that is how she is. I just think
what
that,
do you mean that's how she is?
Like I feel like she's What's not being somebody different. Like she's from St. Louis, slums, whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah, but is she a hooker? Because she sells to me when I see that,
yeah, she's
when
selling.
I hear that, I think of hooker.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So what is she saying? What's the message that she's giving? I get it on a fun level. Who doesn't like to watch porn, right?
Yeah.
But back in the day, porn was something we did in secrecy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And there's a reason why we did it in secrecy. Because we knew that, hey, I don't want this to get out to everybody.
Right.
Yes, I'm doing bad shit, but I'm ashamed of my bad shit. The problem with her is she's sending a message to young people saying, do bad shit and have no shame about it.
Okay, so right there, that I agree. But the only reason that I can't give her all the blame is because she's getting paid to do that. So the people that are paying her, I'm wondering why do y'all find this so interesting that out of all the artists in the world, y'all go and say, oh, I want that one, and I want to put millions of dollars behind that one. Wow. I want to put that one in all the schools. I want to do that instead of saying, oh, I want to take this one instead and put, that's the problem. I'm saying she's just going to be her. That's right. I'm not going to be mad at her for
being
her. So
your thing is, why pick her to go into school?
Yeah, and put millions of dollars. She's had songs with Drake. She's been on stage. She's been on.
They do it by numbers. She's getting numbers, right?
No, they're creating those numbers. What I'm saying is, I know from the beginning.
Guess who's doing it?
Yeah.
The companies, the big companies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like, see, we keep falling for that. They're like, look,
so we agree.
It's like McDonald's. I'm going to feed you garbage because you keep eating garbage.
So what I'm saying is these aren't black people that run these labels. These are Chinese people and white people that run these labels. So I'm saying that they're looking at, oh, I think, like you were saying, we don't spend enough time around each other. We don't spend enough time around each other, so we don't really have an understanding of each other.
Right.
So they'd be like, or it could be more sinister than that, who knows, but they'd be like, oh, I think that's a representation of what my daughter's and stuff, so I'm going to put money behind her because my daughter likes that.
And the danger is that we can cipher what's right and wrong. Those young folks can't.
Exactly.
These young people, they don't know. They think, they look at that and go, she's making a lot of money.
Exactly.
She's popular. That's my role
that
model.
That shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah,
same
on
reason
top
they give,
of that,
they give clowns all the money.
These young people are coming to an age where they want to be independent. You know, like it's like the time when you reach out to hold your child's hand and your child says, no, I can do it by myself.
That's not just now. That's every generation.
No, it's every generation. It totally is. And the point that I'm making is that when they hear her use these lyrics, they feel empowered to express their independence, you know, because they can say these words like adults,
right?
But they aren't quite adults yet, so there's that. But
music,
I want to speak to your point earlier, though, because I think
the music industry, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but the music industry is like, okay, so when that song comes on, she has to walk into the room with the executives, play it, and these executives are like, what you think they're doing? They're just like, oh, this is my shit or whatever. I just think they're just saying like, oh, what did she say? Oh, she said that. Okay, cool.
It's a business decision.
It's sensationalized. It's like exaggerated.
Totally it's like, a business decision.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing about it is that it has a negative impact on society.
Exactly.
And they end up making money. But I would dare say that she got to this point of saying that because someone else before her did something similar. And so she was able to stand on their shoulders and be even more in your face than her predecessor was.
Yeah.
And then there was someone before that who was in your face on some level.
And I know I was talking to Brandon about this last time, but she's also of this social media age, right?
Mm-hmm. Like
whatever, 50, whatever, when we were coming up, a woman didn't have the option of getting on an Instagram account or what have you and getting likes and getting money just for stripping down, not even getting naked.
Right.
Just for being real, lascivious, showing everything except that.
Right.
And it's an option now. You're talking about shame. We're in the age of lack of shame.
No shame at all.
And social media has everything to do with that.
Absolutely. 100%.
And you got to think about it. What does it do to somebody's psyche when every single time you do something that people deem is bad or crazy or, oh, you this or you that, your bank account go up millions of dollars. Like, you're going to look at somebody like you and be like, nigga, fuck what you talking about. Like, hey, I'm actually going to get more crazy because they told me if I do more and more, I'm going to get even more money. Because at a certain time where humans can be inherently selfish, so they could just think about what they got going on.
Right, self-preservation.
And they'd be like, cool. So
I feel like that started back in the gangster rap. I hate to say it, because I can remember when it was, rap was about fun and boasting and all those kind of things.
Right.
And kind of the commentary on the street that we broke, it's like a jungle sometimes, makes you wonder. All these kind of things, kind of a voice against the man. You had Public Enemy. And then I remember, it might have been mid to late 80s, actually. And I think in that time period, they figured, as much as I have mad respect for, you know, my West Coast rappers, prior to that, it was, I mean, we know rap came out in New York, right?
Yeah.
And guys was like, yo, we don't have anything to do. You know, it was kind of a way to keep people out of trouble. We put up the big speakers, we got turntables, we rap about da da da. And at the most, it was rapping bad about your opponent. You know, I can rap better than you.
Yeah, like.
And then at some point, I remember because Public Enemy came out and they were right there at the beginning. And their rap was more, it turned the corner. It turned the corner to a consciousness.
Not only
the man, it's like a jungle sometimes, but let me give you a little history about this. And they gave us history. And then we started, in the music, MTV, because MTV was fucking with rap.
They weren't fucking even fucking with black artists.
Period.
Like, Sony had to threaten them, say, look, if you don't play this Michael Jackson video, we're pulling everything. We're pulling all of our Sony artists.
So that's how much they thought about us.
Damn. I had no idea.
Yeah. Michael was the first black artist on MTV. And to show videos. And so up until that point, and I'm glad you said that, up until that point, there was no visuals. And then visuals came with, from that came, you had PE, and they would show, you know, we going, breaking out of jail. It was a song, you know, we breaking out.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And then right underneath of that was West Coast rap and NWA.
I remember the Eazy-E tape. That was my introduction. Of course, he's of NWA. And I was listening to it like, whoa.
Motherfuck the police. Fuck the police.
And that was political.
Yeah. And we liked that. But then it was like, now we getting money. And we getting paid. And we boasting about it. And now that we got the money and the cars and the bling bling, we got bitches. And they all bitches to us.
Right.
And then it turned into a hoe and pimp industry. That was the commentation. You my hoe, I'm pimping because I got the money. I can do. And women were like, okay, I'm low self-esteem. Here, you want to see my booty? Because I'm going to get some new pocketbooks and new shoes.
And then on the East Coast, Luke was amplifying that.
Luke came in Miami.
You know,
he
had chicks doing crazy stuff on video.
What did Luke have? Luke had Me So Horny.
Yeah.
And he turned the strip thing. He put the strip thing into
it.
And I know these cats probably, you know, listen, man, I don't want to judge. You know, I know these cats were at that point. It's just like the drug business, man. It's just like the drug business. The attraction was money.
Yeah.
That carrot has always been dangled. Yeah. And it's been dangled. It's been dangled in out because we didn't have anything. Yeah. And it was like, it's no different than the field nigga and the house nigga. The way the field, people forget, the house nigga was a field nigga at first until Masa dangled that carrot and was like, if you do good, you can come on in and get some scraps. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting your ass kicked on a daily basis, you like, that carrot look real good, Masa. I'm tired of being out in this hot sun. So
we sick?
Yeah, we sick too. Cause it's like, I need to, listen, man, there were women, you know, stories you look at Amistad in movies Daniel's calling me. That depict, you know, the slavery was so bad. I was telling our friend this, that Kate, that you don't realize the devastation that slavery had on black people. There was a time that you were grown big ass men, feared for their lives to just walk down the street. If I walk down the street, much less look at, you know, a white person.
No, just looking too proud.
Looking too proud. You may not come, your father or brother may not come home tonight.
Crazy.
And you know what, missing. Circling back to our previous convo, this is why I was so upset, beyond upset. I'm tired of these black Republicans, frankly. But this Byron Donalds guy, well, the black family was stronger during Jim Crow. I mean, that's... No. That's stupid.
I know.
Right? Well, what else wasn't strong during Jim Crow?
right.
That black man could not be a protector of his family because if he showed that he was trying to buck, they would round up the whole white community and he would be roasting.
He would be roasting on a tree.
You could not protect your family. And God forbid you let off a couple shots.
Yeah.
No, they're coming back.
They're coming back.
You're either leaving town or you're going to be roasting.
Yeah, your house is going to be burnt down.
What, you're going to shoot everybody and then get everybody killing your family?
That's
no. So you got to bounce.
So after generations and 100 years later, when you dangle that carrot called the music industry and these young guys are make after you know, you understand this is also right at the height of the crack epidemic. Mm-hmm. They're like, wow. Cause a lot of those cats were selling crack because that was the ticket. Mm-hmm. It was very few options you had, especially if you weren't the smartest, you know, you weren't lawyer smart or, yeah. or you know, doctor smart or judge smart.
Yeah.
You were like, hey, and of course a lot of the cats, it's not just being smart. I don't even have an environment, I don't even live in an environment that's conducive to that. Right. So what's left for me? If I'm not a good athlete, mm. then okay, I get in the gang, I sell drugs. Oh shit, I can rap,
yeah.
I make beats. Cause I was there, I lived in that period yeah. of time. It's like, yo, I make beats yeah. and people can rap. I was so proud, like I can do this yeah. and we're creating something. And I feel, so you're telling me now, you taking my music and you're gonna put me on TV, make me famous and give me money. I think in my head that I'm doing a service to my people because, so anyway, I'm just saying I understand the psychic of that. I get it, but at the same time, in retrospect, you kind of contribute to the bigger at large problem. You were part of that.
I just want to try to get 2 points in quickly, but sure. if you look at, you know, the Drink Champs, he had Special Ed on, and I don't know if okay. you saw that, but Special Ed got in a little bit of hot water because he made a comment basically saying, was gangster rap worth it? And he was like, no,
was
it wasn't.
Gangster rap it worth wasn't. It? Wow. It
for everything that it has wrought down the way, you know, so many years later. So he got in the hot water over that. And he said, look, I've spoken to dads, I've spoken to corrupt, I've cleared up what I was saying, but how can, and again, like Brandon, as an older black guy, it's hard not to look back and say, damn, where did we go wrong? And so I agree with that. And I'm telling you, man, I love all that stuff. I love oh, yeah. Easy, I love all NWA, I love all
course,
the Trey stuff.
The beats, the whole, the swag,
I love all of it.
All of it.
You know, but then you look at Sexy Red and you can see any number of these like black scholarly types on TV now. If you talk to them,
right.
they will be like, Chuck D got me reading. He got me into Joanne Chesimard yeah. or Stokely Carmichael or just people. It's not yeah. like you got to be blackly, blackly, black. Right. But yeah. it just gave you this greater sense.
It gave you
of
a broader sense
were.
Of who you are. But and I want to add, too, because right. we mentioned Public Enemy. There was also a wave of artists who were doing things like the Jungle Brothers, like Poor Righteous mm-hmm. Teachers, like Arrested Development. But they didn't put all the light on them.
Yep.
They did quickly kind of scooted. They waited for that wave to go by, and right. they let that go.
And I think that's my point. So I just think that it's like, I still remember when I was a young kid and the Nas joint, I know I can't be what I want to be. Mm. And the vibe that was felt was like, oh shit, I think I can be what I want to be. Like even from when we was growing up and stuff, that was just something you clearly knew when it came on the radio. There was a complete change in frequency vibration of the music from that, for what I was listening to hear that. And I was like, oh damn, this is different
yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
And then you would go to school or whatever, and then niggas would be like, wow, that's some bullshit, fuck that shit or whatever. But no matter what they said, you still feel in your spirit a little bit.
It's
like,
it's,
yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah.
Right. Right.
Music
right.
is like
so,
air.
Yeah, so, and I love music, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, so I'm basically saying, if you keep on beating the same frequency over and over and over again, and then you say the only way you can get money is you do this, is when we keep on loosely saying, yeah, they didn't put the money here, they, when I'm like, who is they, and then why is they doing that? That's what I'm saying, because I basically was in the music industry and went to the meetings and stuff when they're trying to sign you and all of that, and I know for firsthand sometimes what they're looking for. And it's like, unless you are literally like damn near Kendrick Lamar already, where you got the whole West Coast behind you and you plugged in with the people that are plugged in out there as far as gang culture is considered, so the labels got to do what you say. You know what I'm saying? It was the same thing with Death Row back in the day. Like,
right.
if you're not that, then you ain't letting no conscious shit. They basically been like, nigga, who did you shoot? How many drugs you do? You gonna make these hoes take their clothes off or not?
Well,
that's what I'm
and
saying,
it's unfortunate.
That's what we're paying for.
I mean, it's the same thing in all entertainment. I mean, the movie industry is the same way.
Yeah,
you
especially
know?
For black movies.
Yeah, they like, want to see some shit blow up. And we keep, yeah. and if you take a generation, if you, and this is the other thing, just like we talked about, what's her name, Sexy Red? Mm-hmm. When you put her in the school system with young kids, mm-hmm. so now you're starting a generation who wants to be fed McDonald's. Yep. I call Sexy Red McDonald's.
Fast food.
She's equivalent to fast food.
Yeah.
And so, and she, you know, she's, again, she's making it, whether she got enough sense or not, she like, this money show is good.
Yeah.
This money show is good. What you want?
Well, you know.
Because her family, it's the house nigga analogy. It's like, her shit is good. Like, so it's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't care about these little ass kids. They bad anyway. They're going to be fucking anyway. That's how they be. You know
right. They justified that way. Who am I? Until it's their kid.
These are business decisions. These people know how to make money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They know how to make money. And so they guide people like her to do the things necessary to make money.
Yep.
And at the same time, though, they know human behavior, and they know how to dictate.
Absolutely.
They know how to dictate human behavior. And so they continue in this vein because they're dictating human behavior, which makes them money.
Yep. Go ahead.
Sorry, Chris. Are we skirting a racial angle, though? Because where's the white Sexy mm-hmm. Red?
Because mm-hmm. they're in the trailer park.
They don't do that.
Right, but where are they in the popular culture?
That's such a great point. That's such a great point.
So what I'm saying is where the dollars go. So it's just interesting to note how I think it's just consumerism as far as like, and I think music is a form for more so of like us talking to each other, us like how they used to be on a slave on a plantation,
yep.
like
code, communication.
And I think now it's just consumerism. And I think that I can't blame my people for that because shit be fucked up. Like sometimes they'd be like, look, I'm about to sit in this small apartment for the rest of my life, or I'm about to just do what I was going to be doing anyway, or whatever, just on a higher level and let all these kids see me do it and make millions of dollars.
Wait a minute, let me ask a question.
There's a price to pay for that.
That kind of hangs on what you said. So let's compare, and this has been a concern of mine for many years with regards to black music and pop music, all right? So, and I'm gonna include in that pop rock music. Mm-hmm. It's been my experience that white artists, pop rock artists, have greater latitude about subjects to talk about.
Yep.
Whereas black artists right now are limited to sex and money.
And violence.
Sex, money, and violence. And that's it.
And drugs.
And drugs/money.
Yeah, exactly. So my point being is that it cuts down on the expression or the ability to express. Like, you know, what if... I'm not going to even bring up a hypothetical, but it doesn't allow or doesn't encourage a black child to, I don't know, become a Steven Spielberg. You know, someone who reads in depth, reads Shakespeare, reads Langston Hughes, mm-hmm. reads all these authors, mm-hmm. and then let that feed his imagination. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the songs are kind of like, just like we said, the music is stuck in a particular place. It's just there. Whereas, you know, the Taylor Swifts, the some of the rock bands, they can sing about depression. They can sing about
love.
Everybody sings about love.
And the intricacies of love.
We sing about fuck.
What they sing about is what makes us human.
Right.
Yeah. And we get caught up into this culture of, like you said, sex, drugs. Because I was money. And what was the other thing? Sex, drugs, money, and violence.
Violence.
And I was talking. I did a shoot a couple weeks ago.
Or their
ego. There was some young cats that, and they were in younger than I was. I mean, that happens a lot. And they were like, they were talking about what kind of rap did they say? Kind of. It wasn't gangster. It was kind of gangster rap, but they had maybe another word.
Drill music.
Nah, but they were talking about Sexy Red. That's why I hear Sexy Red. And they were saying there's nobody really out there. They felt like the women were actually leading the charge with gangster. And they mentioned Sexy Red. And they said all the guys really are rapping about drugs.
Yeah.
Like how much drugs they take. And like, I was like, what? They were like, dudes is on this drug thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Do y'all know what y'all are doing right now? And I know that sometimes I feel like they're just doing it for the sake of wilding out. Yeah. I remember the show Wilding Out, and it's no diss to my man, Nick Cannon. But I never was attracted to that show. Yeah. Cause I was like, you just giving a platform for niggas to act like assholes.
Right.
We have done that already. Right. But don't get me wrong, mad respect for Nick Cannon. I don't want anybody, you know, like, you're a Nick Cannon hater. Yeah. And he put a lot of comedians down. A lot of people came out of that. So, yeah, you know.
You can like what Tyler Perry does without liking the product.
Absolutely.
And respect. It's just variety. Yeah.
But to your point, and variety, because you made that point. And the point is, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? Because you have not done this. But I feel like, Black people, you got to do that because we always got to be dumbed down. I'm like, when are we going to elevate?
Right.
Even young folks. Come on, man. Taylor Swift is making a ton of money. She's not doing that.
She's making all the
money. So don't tell me it can't be done. It can be done.
Right, right. Something that reaches the sensibilities.
Yeah, you're just being ignorant.
Public in general. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, so... I'm sorry, I'm going to just say this real quick. You got to look at the Taylor Swift audience, and how is that demographic divided? How many Blacks, Asians, and white girls?
She's killing it.
You know, are all her, all riding her
coattails. Did she say bitch? I don't know.
She has a few.
I'm sure she said, yeah, I mean, that's normal. Yeah.
But it's a few.
So,
but she ain't, you know, describing her pussy the way her pussy looks.
I just think sometimes we're just a little too open and welcoming. So I just think we don't have an identity.
And we're like at the expense of ourselves.
The thing about Islam and the Muslim culture I do like is that it's identity in there. Like, it's like, this is what we fuck with, this is what we don't fuck with. Don't even ask me about it because I don't fuck with it. And you know that. So it's like, so
that's
here.
Haram.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what you're talking about is discipline.
And I think that, like, discipline. The whites or Asians or these other cultures, they start to see Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus start to do all that other shit, and then they withdraw the white.
They squash that shit down.
Yeah, yeah.
They
so they're like, they let you know that
we don't fuck with that.
Wow.
We put them
in elementary school.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? We reward them.
Angry.
Oh, yeah.
We reward. Don't y'all see what you're doing? Because really, if we really was about it. The sexy reds, and I'm afraid to say my girl Megan Thee Stallion, we would counsel those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're house niggas. They're really handkerchief head motherfuckers. They handkerchief head. We seeing them as heroes, but they really handkerchief head. They right up there with Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Some rap niggas like that too, though.
They just look good doing it. That's
all. Basically, they're saying to the public, you don't have to fucking get an education. You don't have to educate yourself.
Yeah, just wiggle your ass.
Yeah. Just come shake up with some curse words, some witty lines, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the thing about the reason why it's so fucked up is because we're still the people who spend the most money. So it's like,
we get prostituted.
So it's almost like we're being hypocritical because it's like, all right. That's why I always say variety, because I don't want them to stop feeding their family. That's fine. They can do what they're doing. But the fact that every other culture champions just them and only them, and they don't even want to think of another rapper that's a girl that's not like Nicki Minaj or Sexy Red or Cardi B. They don't even want to hear. If you speak to another culture about that sometimes, they like, well, I'm not trying to hear that shit, bro. Right. Put that. That's the problem. It's like that. The other cultures outside of... Because we know what's good in our house. I can be like, oh, yeah, she a hood joint, but she goes. Because a lot of times the girls be Sexy Red, like Sexy Red to be cool as hell. I ain't going to lie. Like, they be hanging out. They be chilling. They be like, all right, whatever. The dudes fuck with her. They be
I'm
cool
not mad home. At them. I just feel like sometimes you went
but
too
the
far.
Little kids.
Like, one of my favorite artists is Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
Anderson .Paak curses and says crazy shit, but he evens it up. Like, I just feel like they just get ratchet.
He's a real artist, though.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. I don't think Sexy Red would call
herself
a real artist.
That's a conundrum, though.
So
right?
What is she?
Why are artists not doing this?
I think she's an influencer.
See?
Quote unquote.
That's even scarier.
Social media.
I think she can move the needle. I think when people speak about her, numbers go up. I think she's somebody that is polarizing. But I don't think
You know what else?
I don't think that she's an artist. Like, you know, I don't think she'll be like, I'm an artist like Anderson .Paak.
You know what else moved the needles? Move the needle? Crack. Fentanyl. They get crazy numbers.
I was gonna say heroin.
They're not heroin. So we're not smart enough. Yeah, yeah. And young folks aren't smart enough to go, that's not good for you. Yeah. That's so gonna fuck you up, dude.
Said something earlier. He was like, but I can't even really blame us. And you said that slavery has messed us up so much.
Yeah.
I'm of the mindset that we could almost blame every single freaking thing on slavery.
Yeah.
Like, this air is impure, slavery.
Slavery. Yeah.
That's why we got this global warming. Yeah.
That's why I'm fucked up with my white males. Not that I don't dislike white males.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yo, man, like you said, was it really worth it? Is it really worth it?
Right.
I think the saddest part to me sometimes is just that, like, no matter what, so far we as black people haven't been able to agree on a certain story.
Agenda?
No, just a story.
And like, it's gotten worse.
Yeah,
though.
I know. When I was growing up, when I was young.
So that's just like, you know what, the last 15 years.
I knew far as like where I could pull identity from, even though it wasn't the greatest identity sometimes, but it was like, oh, I know we all on the same shit out here.
Yeah.
Now it's like to the point where it's like, oh, you got some of us doing this, some of us doing that, some of us cool with this, we got some of us doing that, they got kids, oh, she's a
social
pillar in the community,
but
she's sucking dick on
like
the internet. Oh my God, we did that.
Talk about
it's like anything. Honestly. It's like we can't unite because it's too much going on. I'm like,
and for me, I'm not gonna tell you
it's too much to
I'm an imperfect person. I like a smidgen of ratchetness. P-Funk had a smidgen of ratchetness. But At how much? I mean, I like salt and sugar, but it's like,
right,
I know that I can't have too much of it. Too much of it is detrimental to my health. So you have to be careful. And that's what I'm like, yo, do you know? And I know when you're young, you're not as responsible. But I'm like, yo, we keep getting dumber and dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
And AI keeps getting smarter and smarter.
And it's funny because it's like,
I'm afraid of
that. Lazy.
And it's all of us, and all of us are like older a little bit. So it's like, we understand how to navigate this, but it's like to the point you was making earlier, it's like, yo, there are 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds that are on the same Twitter I'm on right now that allows porn legally, that allows people getting their head shot off, blown off.
I've seen something like, by mistake.
All type of crazy shit. So it's like their minds are like, I just think it's agenda based. I just think it's just poisoning and rotting the minds of the people that are supposed to be like building this up. And I just think it's kind of, I'm watching it in real time. So it's like,
all right. Damn. So this has been a spirited conversation, guys. I love it. I know, Omar, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I just want to thank everybody.
I just want to say next time we got to circle back to the Supreme Court because that has everything to do with putting Trump in the office. So let's keep the Supreme Court in mind, folks. That's all.
You heard that. We heard that. And we're going to talk about my man, Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. How many months is it away to the election? 4 months? 5 months? It's going to be.
Well, the election is 18.
Four months.
The election?
July 1st now, so it's like...
Oh, when it starts.
Yeah, it's about 4 months to July, right? It's about 4 months.
Yeah.
It's almost that time.
August, September,
they keep promising
October,
fireworks. November. I want to see fireworks. I know it's not going to be like a usual.
And it just started. And it's going to be crazy. Yeah. So, folks, continue to join us on this wonderful, wonderful podcast that we have called Not Your Common Conversation. Thank you for coming out and listening to us. And wherever you listen to your podcast, YouTube, what we got, Brandon?
Instagram. Yeah, we on everything. Everywhere you
can
see us.
Every way. Apple Podcasts.
And we're at NotYourCommonConversation.com.
That's right.
Contact
we up
us
now.
Directly.
Thank you for
there.
Coming out and checking us out. I keep saying coming out, but checking us out. And until next time.
Peace.
Yeah. Got Chris in the booth, got Omar too. All the lucky listeners know we do it for you. Not your common conversation, back with the new. And we speaking the truth like they need us to do. Ain't not your common conversation, not your common conversation, not your common conversation.
on and we on and we on.